Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out. Welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we've got Randy, and we got you for a three-hour ride with open phone line for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch the show. Cap, what a great weekend of football, college and pro, that we had. A bearless Sunday, but still a good football Sunday nonetheless.
Outstanding weekend, tremendous baseball. I took in a lot of baseball this weekend. Phenomenal. And football. Had a great, great time. A lot of my teams that I root against all lost. Mm-hmm. How'd that game go in Notre Dame over the weekend for you? Stanford. Nice job, Cardinal. Mm-hmm. Way to beat them. And then the Packers got their ass beat by the Jets. Huh. Just so phenomenal. Say goodbye to the Dodgers. Out. And then the Crimson Tide happened to lose to Tennessee. That was an awesome game.
So that was a great sports weekend for all of us watching on Saturday and Sunday. That is for sure. But for me, Cap, it feels like a Bears Monday because we are counting out the days for the next Bears game and kind of on this mini bye. They take on the Patriots right around the corner, like a week from today, right? On Monday Night Football.
Correct. Week from today. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Mitchell Trubisky. He was sensational yesterday.
I mean, there's always closers, quarterback closers. You know, if one person goes down, you expect the backup to pick up the slack. He did his nice mop-up work. Can't do it in four quarters, but a few, maybe. So we'll have our Trubisky update coming up in our next hour here on Chicago's Home for Sports. It still feels like a Bears Monday to me, Cap, because since we left the air Friday, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of columns and things written and things said about the beloved. As they played on Thursday, they had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the whole weekend for people to analyze what happened with the Bears and their loss against Washington. I read Patrick Finley, I'll use him for an example, from the Sun-Times, analyzing the Bears through six games. And I was reading the column, and there's some things I agreed with, things I did not agree with from Finley from the Sun-Times. Well, first of all, if I was able to give you a six-pack of things I look at with this Bears team, when I look at the Bears versus everything I saw in the NFL on Sunday, the number one thing is that I'm watching Justin Fields, and I don't know, has the All-22 come out yet?
Oh, yeah.
So have you taken a look at that tomorrow?
I watched some of it, yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you about that because, actually, you watching the All-22 is probably the same as you watching it at NBC Sports Chicago. You kind of know what you are going to get there. You know what I think? After watching what I saw from the Bears, from Justin Fields, Justin somehow is getting worse. He's actually getting worse. You know, you take a look at the interception rate, the sack rate, it's higher this season than last. That's the numbers right now.
But is that his fault?
Well, I think that when an offense is collapsing, everything's not working in concert. Again, we could do the blame plot, the kind of blame pie if you'd like. But it's the offensive line and the quarterback not working. It's the receivers not getting open. It's the game plan. It's all of it. When you can't get the ball down the field, I think that you blame everything. Everything's not working properly. Whether he's not getting the ball out, doesn't know whether or not he should run or throw. As you'll look at the All-22, and you'll tell us, once you've seen the whole thing, mm-hmm. there's always a disconnect from Justin's standpoint, too, of exactly when can I throw? How should I throw it? Three quarters? Over the top? You know, I mean, those things are still being worked out by Justin in the offense.
That offensive line is the worst I've seen. The worst. And all I know is Where are all the guys and gals, mostly guys, that were calling in here 6 weeks ago? You're just a hater, Cap. They got talent on that roster. There's 10 wins there. Top five special teams. Really? Top five defense. Really? The offense is going to come together. We suck, and it's by design. My biggest problem, I said this to you the other day, is I keep hearing, well, he's not their quarterback. They didn't draft him. He wears a Bears uniform. He busts his ass every day. He's the first guy in the building. He's the last guy out. He tries to play through pain. It's not that he's not. He's theirs. If they put Bears gear on and he puts Bears gear on, they're teammates. And Ryan Poles did nothing to help that kid. Nothing. That falls right on his effing desk.
Yeah.
Shame on him.
Well, it's by design, though. You're trying. I guess when you put out that type of inferior talent offensively and you don't have game changers offensively for Justin, mm-hmm. You know what that means? That means that clearly you want him to survive somehow 17 games with inferior talent. And maybe you could throw Justin in there as well as far as inferior talent as he learns on the job. But at the same time, when you put that talent out there and put that roster out there, you know what that means? He's looking to try to get a top draft pick. That means that they're not trying to win now. They're trying to win in 2 years, or 3 years.
Correct, but yet he refuses to say when he came out with us or anywhere else, mm-hmm. Not a rebuild. We just need to paint up a few rooms. Paint up a few rooms? You just had a hurricane go through there. They got no talent there. By design, yeah. He wants a high pick, whether that's to go draft Bryce Young or whoever, or trade the pick and get more capital. But my problem is, you put that kid out there, and he's getting, how about this stat from ESPN? He's getting pressured 46.8% of the time he drops back through the first six games.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most since they started tracking pressures the way they do in 2009 through the first six games. Most. No one else has been pressured more than that kid. Well, they didn't have any money, Cap. They were strapped with the salary cap. Really? You had $10 million to throw at Riley Reiff. You had a million and whatever to throw at Michael Schofield on the night before training camp. Really? You had $40 million to throw at Larry Ogunjobi, who failed his physical. Where's that money? You couldn't have gone into free agency. I'm not asking you to get Teron Armstead, who went to Miami for $75 million. There's a happy medium out there. You couldn't have kept James Daniels? He got $25 million over 3 years. You could have afforded him. There were players out there. There were receivers that moved around, Christian Kirk and DJ Chark and all these other dudes. You could have upgraded your room. You chose not to because you wanted to get your ass beat. That's fine. You picked a lane. But all these people, Justin can't play, man. Justin's this. Just stop. No chance.
Is Justin Fields better or worse than he was last year? I just told you my opinion of it is that he's actually getting worse. And this is just not based on games. I'm just saying from a number standpoint that he's getting worse.
I disagree with that assessment.
He's averaging fewer passing yards per game and has a lower passing rating this season than last. That's just a fact.
That's because he has less talent to work with.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, when you are giving a grade to each player in each unit, you've got to determine, okay, is the player getting better or not, despite the circumstances?
I think he understands what they're trying to do better. He's not a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy being thrown in the middle of the season. I think he looks more in control. He's just gotten... Did he not hit... Smith Marset.
It feels like his rookie year, though. I'm trying to push the Nagy year out. I'm trying.
I get that.
Yeah.
Did he not hit over the middle for a first down, Smith Marset, and it went through his hands and hit him in the face mask?
Yeah, no question.
Did he not hit Mooney for the game-winning touchdown?
Yep.
And he dropped it.
Hit Pettis in the hands a couple weeks ago.
When you had to have a play, did he not scramble 39 yards and get you in position to win the game?
Mm-hmm.
And if you hadn't made, and this is not Monday morning quarterback, I said it before the play, kick the field goal on 4th-and-1 at the goal line. Kick the field goal. Your inept offense can't score. And now we're going to go for it again, and we're going to use Khalil Herbert instead of David Montgomery? Or not give Justin an opportunity to make a play with his legs? Nope. Run into the line. Stopped. Kick the field goal. You would have won the game because you kicked the field goal at the end.
Which gets us to Matt Eberflus. Now, this is through six games. There's about two or three things. One of them you just pointed out. About two or three things that we've seen from the Eberflus regime as far as him, you know, hey, you know what? We're just going to battle through. We're going to do this because it's good for the team. We are going to do an onside kick. We're going to. So it's him being riverboat Eberflus a couple times, right?
Riverboat Eberflus.
I know it sounds clunky, but I mean, that's what it is.
Actually
he's,
works.
He's rolling the dice, right?
Correct.
It sounds better when we say Rivera. Riverboat Ron is actually better, but Riverboat Eberflus is pretty clunky on a marquee. But nonetheless, so Matt Eberflus through six games, Cap. I mean, what is his job? Defense has got to be better because you're a defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It's got to have an identity. Got mm-hmm. this hits principle. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, even as a DC, he under his leadership, he's got to somehow be able to help develop Justin Fields. Yeah, he's got Getsy as the OC, but he is the head coach after all. So what is Eberflus through six games? About a C? The ball club's 2-4. It is what it is.
Hold on. Let me take out the textbook for today's show.
It really is. That's the Sun-Times, by the way. That is the textbook.
It is.
What do you got, about 30 pages? What do you got there?
It's a leaflet.
Welcome to 1994.
Yeah, it's a leaflet.
Okay.
Famous Jewish sports heroes.
Uh-huh.
So it's 48 pages. The whole paper, not the sports thing.
My dad would be incensed, but go ahead.
So would mine. My dad loved him.
Where's Vernon Jarrett?
Do you know that my late father, mm-hmm. dad, rest in peace. Yeah. Hope you're enjoying your coffee this morning with mom. He would get, I'm not kidding now. They used to print the late edition of the paper mm-hmm. that would come out at 1:30 in the morning.
That's right.
For Sunday. Mm-hmm. Just Sunday. Saturday night, 1 o'clock. Boys, get up. Let's go get the paper. He wanted to read the Sunday paper at 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait for it to come out.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah. Good columns in there. That's why.
Dad, the scores aren't all in here. Yeah. So, anyway, they have the grades for all the things about the team.
So, where's Eberflus?
Eberflus, I'll give you mine in a second. Mm-hmm. What did you give him for a grade?
It's about a C so far.
Okay. Patrick Finley, a C. Jason Leisure, a C-. Potash, a C. I would probably co-sign your C. He's got no chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no shot. It's like David Ross looking down going, I need a pinch hitter. Ortega, get him back.
Yeah.
Who? Alcantara. Like, no. I need good players.
But then when you can actually see the coaching, as far as him making these decisions, Cap, I think he's, what, 0 for 3, 0 for 4 in this spot? I mean, he's putting the team in position to say, let's extend ourselves. Let's go for it. Let's go outside of the norm and try to do the – hasn't worked out well.
Correct.
Can't do it without a lot of talent either.
Correct.
But, I mean, so far, it just it's average. The ball club's below average. But I would say that's a C. But, again, he's got to be able to develop that defense. Now, we talk about the offense and what it's going to look like in a year.
Right.
They're going to be able to get to the quarterback next year? Will they be able to add on to that defensive line? That's what I'm used to seeing. We saw that some against Carson Wentz on Thursday. That was good to see. But we still don't know where Robert Quinn is. He's part of that defense, too, you know.
Oh, I didn't know he's played.
Yeah, he's on the roster. Yes, yes. He's still there.
I wasn't aware.
Yes.
Okay, so here, what if we get to that? We got to take a quick timeout. We'll get to the phones. What if we get to the draft next year, Bears are picking fourth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hell of a D tackle there. That's like a game wrecker inside.
Mm-hmm.
If they take him, everyone in town is going to be outraged. Where's the wide receiver? Where's the left tackle? Just telling you, there's that many holes.
Yeah.
We have no talent, folks. Face facts. Been trying to tell you.
Randy, let's open the phone lines here this morning. It's a Bears Monday. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. What Cap and I want to find out from you is, through six games, can you give us what you know about your Chicago Bears team? Now, Cap and I have six things that we want to tell you about the team. You tell us, through six games, what do you know about the Bears? Compare what you saw on Sunday on the Red Zone or your favorite NFL game you watched yesterday to what you know about the Bears. Now, what do you know about Bears football? We've been watching it. You've been watching it. What do you know about the Bears? And then compare that to what you saw on Sunday. We'll take your phone calls and keep going through the things that we know through six games of the season for the Bears on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Great Monday morning. Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're asking you your thoughts about the Chicago Bears. Yeah, the Bears played on Thursday, but we're just asking, now we're through six games. The Bears are 2-4. What do you know about Bears football? What do you know about them? And then compare that to what you saw on Sunday. And Cap, it's funny that you and I and Shay and Randy were talking before the show about, you know, how average or below average the NFL is. Well, Shay, when I look at it, it's kind of like this. Like, the whole league, to me, is predicated on 8-8. I've said this for decades. It's what you do with that 8-8, or now it's 8-9. What you do with that, because are you drafting better than the average team? Are you getting better free agents than the average team? How's your quarterback and your offense doing? Are you ahead of the curve there? So it's like, to me, the ones with a plan, those are the teams can be able to be above just average, Shay.
Right, and that's what I said in the meeting this morning, too, was you look around the NFL and you look at what we watched yesterday. To me, there are three elite teams in this league. You got the Bills, you got the Chiefs, and you got the Eagles. Does that mean one of those three is going to win the Super Bowl? No. Somebody could come in, I don't know where, and like the Bengals did a year ago. But those are the three that you look at, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, and go, they're elite. Everybody else kind of doesn't look that good right now. So what I said to you guys was, for the Bears to be 2-4 in a league where everybody kind of looks bad, you have to be really bad.
This is why, Cap, you as the NFL fan have all the fun. I'm a college football fan. The championship usually hangs around the SEC, Georgia, Alabama, always in that vortex, right? NFL, you never know from year to year where the trophy's going. Correct. That's a fun.
Correct.
Birdiesbookbank.org.
I do have a dollar. We've got one right there.
There you go, right to the cup there. There you go, Darren.
Forgot to turn my mic on.
Birdiesbookbank.org.
So the NFL, other than New England dominating when they had Brady at his high point with Belichick, who, by the way, is ridiculous. Bailey Zappi's now throwing for 300 yards.
Can't be surprised.
No, I am surprised.
It's Bill Belichick. I mean, there is a way there. There is a book, a way.
But he was a defensive coach, Johnny. You got to hire an offensive head coach. Stupidest thing I've ever heard. You hire a CEO to run your operation, and then you get good coordinators, good position coaches, and you establish a philosophy. Ah, Mac Jones, struggling. Out. Bailey Zappi, fourth-round rookie, in. 300-plus yards passing. Blowout. On the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
So I have Fields is getting worse so far, I know, and that Eberflus is a C. I've got a few other things, too, as far as this six-pack of issues. I guess my third thing, Cap, would just be that the offensive line. You tell me what the grades are from what you have, because the offensive line is the biggest problem. It's either the offensive line or the weapons. And to me, the protection is so important for Justin Fields to be able to do anything out there.
Correct. So I gave you this stat. Before the break, I'll say it again. Audience changes. They're all going to work. They're getting in the car. What did he say? What's the stat? They started tracking protection in the manner that they do, ESPN did, in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost 14 years ago, 13 years ago. In that period, Justin Fields is being pressured 46.8% of his dropbacks. Through six games, that is the most in the history of that stat.
But your buddy Olin would disagree.
No, Olin does not disagree.
He mentioned that there are some issues with Justin where he's got to get the ball out quickly. Did he not say that?
He does believe that he has to get rid of the ball faster. but he also understands the offensive line is struggling. Because he said, Cap, I mean, he goes, I was having a good year, and I was part of a group that let Jay get sacked 11 times against the Giants. 10 in the first half.
Well, most of the time, it was on purpose. So, I mean, you can understand that, right?
Take that, Jay.
I mean, you're a Jag. Here you go.
That's it.
You know, the sliding door at Walgreens. Come on in, pal. So I got sacked. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Had enough? So for me, it's the offensive line. It's so awful. I mean, awful. It's a joke.
But at the same time, it's a joke. But at the same time, no one has more time to throw than Justin. And no one has the least production in the league than Justin.
That's a misleading
stat. True, though.
No, it's not.
He doesn't. It's 3.25 now.
Means he
3.47.
Is up to 3.47.
3.47. By the way, can I add something to it?
That does not mean that he has the most time. It means he holds the ball and he may be running around. He holds the ball the most time.
Correct.
Brady says, ball's got to be out 2.5, and they have a little horn. At 2.5, it's not distract. You went past 2.5. That is his rule. 2.5, ball's got to be out.
Brother, that's almost 4 seconds. That's almost collegiate. You watch college games? That's how much time they have. That's only because they got a gate in front of him as an offensive line.
That's a good program.
Even with a terrible offensive line, he still has the ball to make some kind of decision. Throw it away. Run with the football. Get it downfield. Check it down to Montgomery. He's got time.
He does not.
He has time when he's got the football. He doesn't know what to do with it, though, because it's like there's a defender over his shoulder trying to take him down.
Right. He almost 50% of the time he drops back, he's being pressured. Almost 50% of the time he is being pressured. Look at the number of times he's been hit before he's been or sacked. Crazy amount of pressure. On top of it, he's got some easy checkdowns, easy throws. The other night, he decides to try and take Mooney the deep shot.
Yeah.
When he's got a guy 9 yards for a first down right in front of him, doesn't make the throw. So there is plenty that falls at his feet, too. But that offensive line, that receiving core, is a joke.
So the offensive line for you is a D?
F.
It's an F?
F.
When you were on TV, was it an F guy? Sometimes you grade on a curve on TV.
No, it was an F. I think I gave 4 Fs.
Did you really?
Yes.
I didn't see it. I saw a couple weeks ago, like, the offense was like a B minus you gave, or like a C. I said, I like to be in Dr. Kaplan's class.
Yeah.
My God.
No, I gave, I think, all Fs except for, what was the one thing? There was one grade I gave them.
Special teams,
back.
I know that. That was...
I gave the defense because they held them to 12 points.
Yeah.
I gave them a B or a B minus.
That's fair. All right, let's talk about it. 312-332-3776, our phone number. Through six games, what do you know about Bears football? Daryl and Homewood leads us off here on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000. What's up, D?
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to talk about what I saw Sunday. A lot of bad quarterback play. Probably besides Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, I think Joe Burrow played good. Half the league threw for under 200 yards. Mm-hmm. And if you do so for 300 yards, they throwing the ball 50 times. So a lot of bad quarterback play.
All right. So what? We're through six games. What do you know about Bears football?
The same as half the league. Bad quarterback and good running game. It seemed like Most of the teams got a good running game, but half the league want to throw the ball, and the quarterback is playing bad.
All right, Daryl, we appreciate the phone call. I think defense can be sexy as well. I like stops, don't you?
Buffalo's got a great defense. And at the end, against top three quarterback in football, Patrick Mahomes, by any measure, they stepped up and picked him off and made a play.
Mm-hmm.
Guy read the play. Jump the route. Got it. See you later. Thanks. Have a good night.
Yeah, that's what talent looks like. Difference-making talent. That's what it looks like, Shay.
But how is their offense so high-powered, Buffalo, with Josh? Yeah, their head coach is a defensive coordinator. I thought you have to hire an offensive coach in this world.
Who are you
talking
to?
You do not.
Who are you talking to?
The world.
they did have Daboll. They're still running the Daboll offense. By the way, that guy's a genius. He unlocked
Daniel
Jones.
That's my point. Hire the best CEO to run your organization.
Cap, my counterpoint to you would be, if you agree that the three elite teams in the league are the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Bills, two of the three have an offensive head coach who is also the play caller.
I'm not judging through 6 weeks, Shay. I'm looking through time. Who are the best coaches? They could be off. John Harbaugh, I'd hire him tonight. He was a special teams coach. Never was a coordinator of offense or defense. Mm-hmm. Hell of a head coach. Hell of a head coach. I love Sean McVay. He was an offensive coach. We got to get Cliff Kingsbury in here. I think he's a clown.
Oh, he's a nightmare, yeah.
Not a fan of it, but he was an offensive guru. He couldn't win with Patrick Mahomes.
But damn sexy.
Well, that was just that. That one's also that one. Throw it out because that was a weird hire when it happened. He had a losing record in college, and they elevated him to head coach in Arizona. Mm-hmm. That was a weird hire.
How about Mike Tomlin? He just went out when his back's against the wall. Man, that guy finds a way. They just beat Tampa, and I mean, they pounded on Tom Brady. He was a defensive coach. It doesn't matter. Mike Ditka rolled in here. He was the special teams coach in Dallas. He won.
I was.
He's a legend.
I am.
Get the best guy to be your CEO.
Good, Bill.
Period.
Good, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Ditka. Hey, Ditka! Good day. Where am I? And there's Randy.
Put your headphones on, Coach.
Good, Randy. Good.
Let me spill an iced tea all over your lap.
Good. Mike Ditka Show, yay! Crazy. Back after this. That's
it.
All right, more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're through six games. What do you know about the Bears? And then compare the Bears to what you saw. You watch football on Sunday? Cap and I did. We'll talk about it as we move forward right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Jay Williams, let me tell you, this year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Businesses know it's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. See if you qualify for NetSuite's one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/KJM right now. Again, it's netsuite.com/KJM. netsuite.com/KJM. Shay.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
J-Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. We're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the Hockey Show with Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle. Pat Boyle, the best hair in TV. Holy bleep.
Yeah, his hair is insane.
And best hair on radio and TV. The Hockey Show, available now on the ESPN Chicago app.
Guy can flat out dress, too.
No question. An hour from now, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. We'll hear her thoughts about what happened in the locker room on Friday and over the weekend. She'll give us the latest on the Bears coming up at 8:35. 312-332-3776 through six games. What do you know about the Bears? We mentioned
that they suck.
Justin, okay, so is that the end of the topic?
I mean, no. The decision you have to make is, do you press on and think, all right, can we get the number one pick out of this thing? And if we do get number one pick, can we trade said pick for a satchel of draft picks?
All right, Cap. That's great. No one will be worse than the Texans, but I appreciate the thought.
Depending on what you do at the trade deadline, don't be so sure, my friend.
This ain't baseball. This ain't Reinsdorf at the white flag deal. They're going to keep their talent. They might trade one person, but you're not making wholesale changes to try to reach up there.
Okay.
What does that say to the young players and the guys that's in between that you're just going to get rid of three or four players at one time at the deadline? That's not football.
Because most of the young players aren't going to be here. They're not going to be part of this.
That's not football, what you're talking about there. That's baseball.
Usually. But if David Montgomery is not getting an extension, he's a free agent. He walks. You're certainly not tagging him, mm-hmm. So you probably have to trade David Montgomery here, unless you're going to extend him. That's just reality. Roquan Smith, Are you paying him the tag? That's what, $19 million? I don't think so. So he may get dealt unless you come to a meeting of the minds. Robert Quinn at 33? I mean, I don't know what you get for him based on how he's played. That might have been an error in judgment to not move him at last draft day.
You may be in the top five, but you won't be at number one, that's for sure. Lions might beat you there. 312-332-37. Hey, I'm just reading one in loss records. I'm just looking at the Raiders, and we got the Lion. The Texans, to me, from a talent standpoint, might be the worst in the league.
No, the worst team is the Texans or the Bears, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're looking for a number one pick. You're not getting that from the Chicago Bears. Not this year. They got talent, pal.
You sure about that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Texans, sure. Don't have the quarterback. We have Justin Fields. Whatever that means to you.
Exactly. Let's go to the phones.
Phone lines to talk to you. Here is Eddie from the North Side on ESPN 1000.
Eddie!
Go ahead, pal.
Eddie. Hello, Eddie. Eddie going once. Eddie going twice.
Nick in Geneva.
Sold to Nick in Geneva.
Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, man?
Hey, so there were some things that I've seen, especially within the last couple weeks. One thing that I've noticed whenever we play Aaron Rodgers, and I know you guys probably know this too, they'll be around 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, and our DBs are pressured 10, 12 yards off the ball when they need to get to the sticks, and it's like they just allow them to stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that always bothers me, other than this poor Justin Fields kid getting beat up all the time because the middle of the field gets blown up every pass protection he gets, and the dude's just running for his life.
Oh, there's no question. Well, let's talk about the defense, because your point is well taken. How is it that the game is in Chicago and the secondary is in Rockford?
Thanks, Nick.
Why is that the case?
It's a great question.
We asked Alex Brown that. He didn't give us an answer. He wasn't sure why.
So go back to the Viking game. Justin Jefferson, I believe, had 12 catches,
mm-hmm.
100 and whatever. 9 of his 12 catches came with minimum 3 yards of unfettered access to the turf. 3 yards of separation.
Yep.
You could hit him. No, I was going to say Shea could, but he couldn't.
What the hell?
But most upright humans could hit a guy if he's got 3 yards of space or more. It was an absolute joke, that coverage.
That's not right what you just did there, Ken. That wasn't right.
It was not right.
Hey, man.
No need to take shots. Well, he's taking shots at you because he knows he can't do that to me because I'm in close proximity.
He is.
And the door's closed.
And he's got long arms. He can reach across and smash me.
41 passes for Kirk Cousins, all of them with open windows. Every pass, according to ESPN.com, every pass had open windows. No tight window passes.
See, he made the first 17 completed.
So
I mean, come on. That's why if we go back, what is Mike Martz now? Mike Martz is an idiot. No, he actually isn't. He may not have been a great coordinator here because he had a bad team he was working with, a bad organization. Mike Martz won a Super Bowl as a coordinator and went to the Super Bowl as a head coach and developed multiple NFL quarterbacks. Kurt Warner says, I'm in the Hall of Fame because of that guy. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Mike Martz doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, he does. Our team is horrific.
Stan from the South Side on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
We're good, Stan. Man. Thanks for checking in.
Love you guys. You guys are doing a great job.
Appreciate you.
Okay. We as Bear fans, what we have to do is we have to decide on what we want. Do we want to try to win games now, or do we want to try to develop players for the future? Okay, the way you develop players for the future is maybe sometimes you go for it on fourth down instead of always kicking field goals. The Bears got to be the worst red zone team in the NFL. They cannot get the ball in the freaking end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Why not start developing these young kids, young habits? Let them get confident. Let them get that ball in the end zone. You're not going to be anything this year anyway. Okay, Bears need to start developing great habits of scoring in the red zone, touchdowns, not field goals. We are a field goal loving city, Chicago. We love all field goals.
We do.
We need to be trying to get touchdowns instead of field goals. Okay, guys, thanks. Talk to you later.
Have a good week, Stan.
I prefer 7 over 3. And I saw a lot of 7 across the league last yesterday. Saw a lot. It's amazing, Cap. You put on the red zone. How about that, Randy? You put on the red zone at noon. You keep it on until they sign it off at 6:45. Go to CBS, by the way, if you need the rest, right? They sign you off at 6:45. And I just kept seeing offenses get down the field. Hey, Shay, it may not be impressive to you as far as the scores or the totals, but we're seeing competent offense, the ability to say, fourth down and short, we're going to get there just like it's first down. I like that in the league.
Yeah, you know what else? You make a great point because you see it a lot, and we saw it Bills Chiefs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Risky fourth down propositions. I mean, 3.5 minutes to go yesterday. The Bills are in their own territory, fourth and an inch, and because you have to kick the ball to Sean McDermott and you have Josh Allen, you're going for it. 99% of the time, you punt that ball away. You have 3 timeouts, pin them, figure it out in the next possession. No, not there. You've got Josh Allen, and you're going against the Chiefs. Even on your 30, you go for it.
I think our ticket is going to cash for the Bills, by the way.
They're really good, man.
That's a hell of a football team there.
They are really good. And then I watched Packers-Jets.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Zach Wilson doesn't look so bad. He's on the move. He's rolling out. He's throwing down the field. Oh, they got a couple receivers. Quinnen Williams?
Mm-hmm.
That guy was a monster.
Yeah.
What are you doing taking a D tackle up in the middle there? Because he completely just blows everything up.
Well, the key to the Jets, besides their defense, is they run the football well. Again, Zach Wilson doesn't do a ton. He does enough. But it's the running game that was impressive to me. They were wearing down the Packers.
They warmed up Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. Breece Hall.
Breece.
From Iowa State, where David Montgomery went. I like that coach there, by the way. Matt Campbell, that guy can coach. That Jets team has talent. The guy who's their GM, he came from the Eagles, but you know where he was before the Eagles? The Bears front office. I think he worked. Didn't he work for Pace? I think he worked for Pace.
Underneath Pace.
Yeah, and then went to the Eagles in a promotion, and then went to the Jets, and they showed him sitting up there. He's smiling. He's all, because he's got talent. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. He hired a defensive head coach because he's a really good CEO. They showed him when they walked in the stadium, NFL Network grabbed him for an interview. I'm like, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh.
What's the biggest surprise and the biggest disappointment so far through 6 games for the Bears? We'll come to that. And don't forget, shot or no shot at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix right here on Cap and J-Hood. Small business owners want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit. Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you made during the pandemic. To take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit, or if you have any specific ERC questions, call 800-704-2000 or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or funds run out. Again, it's OmegaTaxCredits.com, 800-704-2000. Check.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With it being Bulls and Hawks season now, fall and the winter, don't forget to check my partner's recaps on YouTube. Look for David Kaplan and hit that subscribe button because Cap's got a lot to say on his YouTube. Check it out. YouTube.com. Look for David Kaplan with the recaps. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Shot or no shot coming up in 8 to 10 minutes here on ESPN 1000. Let's go back to the phone lines to talk to you as we ask you, what do you know about Bears football? Also, we have biggest disappointment and biggest surprise so far through the first 6 games of the season. Jim in Chicago Heights on ESPN 1000. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good, Jim.
What's up, buddy?
Good, Jim.
Good, Jim.
I believe that the Bears ought to sit Fields until they can protect him.
Well, then you won't see him until 2023 at the earliest. It's not getting any
exactly.
better.
Exactly. Well, they're not going to have a quarterback at the end of the year the way he gets hit.
I don't disagree with you. That's why I'm so incensed that Ryan Poles and everyone, I keep hearing that they didn't have any money to spend, and that's a lie. They didn't have the money to go out and get Teron Armstead for $75 million and then go get Tyreek Hill for another $100 million. No. But what they did have was the night before training camp, we can give Riley Reiff $10 million. We can give Michael Schofield $1.2 million or whatever it was that he got. They could have added to their offensive line. They chose not to because they are not trying to win. And that's being disingenuous when you won't admit it to your fan base.
They're tossing a lot of sewer lids.
That's it. No question about that.
That's it.
We appreciate the phone call. He leaves line open, 312-332-3776. Southside, here's Chase on ESPN 1000 joining us here on the Spears Monday. Hello, Chase.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
What's cracking, man? How are you?
I'm good. Cap, what's happening, bro?
What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, man, Cap, I just wanted to tell you, I'm one of those people that's going to admit that I was wrong, and you was right. I am so sorry, Cap, for disagreeing with you back in August when I said the Bears were more talented than I give them credit for. So I just want to say I apologize for that.
You're the man, Chase. It's sad. I wish I was wrong.
Yeah, I wish I was right, but unfortunately, I was wrong. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, but you know what, though? I'm just going to say this. The reason why the Bears are where they are right now is the main reason they don't draft well and they don't develop. If you look at the last several years, since maybe the early 2000s, they haven't done a good job drafting and developing. That's where it all starts. I mean, until they start developing their talent, we're going to keep going through this. And it's like we go through this year after year, decade after decade. And until – I mean, just think about it. When was the last time we developed a wide receiver? When was the last time we drafted and developed a quarterback? When was the last time we drafted and developed a tight end? I mean, all we do is draft and develop running backs and linebackers, and you don't win Super Bowls with running backs and linebackers. You win Super Bowls with great quarterback play and developing your talent within.
You are so accurate. So right.
Exactly. You guys have a good day. And Hoodie, take care, bro.
Thanks, Chase.
Okay, here's the thing, piggybacking off of what Chase just said.
Sure.
We have to give Matt Eberflus and his staff time to get prospects in here from their GM and then allow them to develop them. Mm-hmm. We can't keep hitting the reset button. Well, we should have hired Brian Daboll and Joe Shane because the Giants did. The Giants have more talent than the Bears. That's just a fact.
True.
So they're 5-1 for a reason. Now, is Brian Daboll a good coach? Yes, he is. He was very interested in coming to the Bears. They picked their lane. Now let these people go to work. But for everyone out there who thinks Ryan Poles, because he's not Ryan Pace, did a great job coming into this season, he did not.
What's your biggest surprise through the first six games of the season for the Bears? I have mine written down. What about you?
My biggest surprise for the team is the improved play, top of the list for Kendall Vildor. He's been a much better player. Brisker and Gordon are starting to show me why they took them, where they took them. I think they're going to be good players. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, I feel like, you know, remember how all we need is a kicker and they ran tryouts over at a bar? Like, we have an outstanding kicker in Cairo Santos. I feel like that's solid. Beyond that, Tevin Jenkins being able to go from scrap heap trade candidate to moved inside to guard, and he's actually playing okay football. Maybe not great. Our offensive line's terrible, but he's got no help there.
I guess my number one biggest surprise is the reemergence of Eddie Jackson.
That's a good one.
I mean, until I saw the Fishbane stat that he hadn't gotten an interception in a couple of years, I didn't even realize that, how he's just been missing in action as someone as a ball hawk. It's good to see him back, though, as being kind of a playmaker for this Bears defense.
Valid pick. Valid. Let's not forget that the previous regime brought in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and it forced Eddie out of his comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Then it was Tayshaun Gibson here who's playing. I watched him the other day. I can't remember where. And now with Brisker being an in-the-box linebacker-type safety, it allows Eddie to do what he does best.
I guess we both would agree on the biggest disappointment would be Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn or just the overall awfulness of the team.
Yeah, I mean, Quinn was solid last year, and then this year you can't find him. That's brutal when you need a pass rush. So that's a big issue there.
Agreed.
All right, coming up, we got Shot or No Shot. Don't forget 8:30, Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. We're back in 2 minutes. Here we go.